All right, let me jump on into today's opening monologue, the Right Side Way monologue. I'll remind you guys that every single day, the Right Side Way monologue is brought to you by attorney Stan McDonald. He's a partner at the law firm of Wilmer & Lee up in Huntsville, 30-year veteran in the practice of law. Stan McDonald, sponsor of the Right Side Way, and I'll tell you more about him here in just a minute. All right, so let me ask you, did you see the news, the recent events in which members of the Trump cabinet had to remind the world that freedom of speech is actually a thing, like a valuable thing? Freedom of speech is a thing worth fighting for, and really a thing that many have died for. So Vice President J.D. Vance went to Europe in one of his first state visits. Foreign Policy magazine says that Vance left the European leaders at the Munich Security Conference gobsmacked. I love that word now, gobsmacked. It's a great word. Vance left them gobsmacked because he told them what they didn't want to hear. He offended their righteous sensibilities. He scolded them publicly for violating the natural law, the basic fundamental rights of people in free nations everywhere. And that's the right to speak. The right to speak without fear of government reprisal. And y'all, his speech was not received well, at least by the elites. At one point, Vance even made note that suppression of speech was a tactic of the former Soviet Union, whose looming threat had, you know, hung over Europe for decades. He said this, he said, quote, "The Cold War positioned defenders of democracy against much more tyrannical forces on this continent. Consider the side," he said, "in that fight that censored the dissidents, that closed the churches, that canceled elections. Were they the good guys? Certainly not. And thank God they lost." Yeah. Thank God they lost. Oh, by the way, what he's saying is the things that the Nazis did, the things that the Soviet Union did, y'all are trying to do that now. Nobody was spared, by the way, in his scolding. He called out Germany's raids on people's posting of so-called hate speech online. He called out Sweden's jailing of an activist who dared to burn a Quran in public. He called out the United Kingdom, even, for setting up what they call safe access zones around abortion clinics. It is said that the European elites were indeed apoplectic. One German leader actually even came to tears during his follow-up speech. Bless his heart. But I don't think Vance said it just for the leaders. I don't. I believe he said those things so that the people of Europe would know that they are seen and they are heard by America. That we can see from afar that they are not being allowed their basic freedoms that their forefathers fought for just over 80 years ago. And the people of Europe, they need to be reminded that suppression of speech is never okay and that we don't agree with how they've been treated here in recent years by their own governments. So yeah, Vance spoke, and then came Secretary of State Marco Rubio, who interviewed with CBS anchor Margaret Brennan, who tried to get Rubio to renounce Vance's words. Like really? That's what you're gonna take him to task on somebody else in the team? With a straight face, she actually opined that Vance uttered those words while standing in a country, she said, in which Hitler's Nazis once, quote, weaponized freedom of speech to commit genocide. She really said that. And he really took her to task for it. It was an epic fail on her part. She has been getting trashed on social media, but it begs the question, what is happening to the free world where speech is actually demonized? The ability to have unfettered and open discourse, that's one of the hallmarks of a free society. I mean, look, since the time that the 300 Spartans stood in the hot gates at Thermopylae to fight the Persians, Europe has been diving in and out of totalitarianism, and it always began with the shutting down of speech. And from the time that the United States became a world power, the U.S. and its European allies, we've always stood for the idea together that a free society is marked in part by whether its citizens feel like their words and opinions even matter or are allowed. And we cannot lose sight of that. So if you're not familiar, there's an artist named Norman Rockwell. Most of y'all know what I'm talking about, but Norman Rockwell, I encourage you to look him up if you're not familiar. He was one time said to have been as familiar to Americans as Walt Disney was for his ability to like speak through images. His paintings were used as the cover art for the Saturday Evening Post for decades, which at one time was the most widely read print media piece in the entire nation. He painted original works of art for use by the Boy Scouts on their annual calendars and their magazines. His works were on postage stamps and war bond posters. They hung in troop barracks, classrooms, city halls, even churches. He was a prolific artist, had over 4,000 original works, and every single one of them was a detailed, realistic, thought-provoking, and often very inspiring piece that just looking at it told you a story about America. He could, with the stroke of a paintbrush, capture emotions and sentiments and weather and even patriotism. But there was one series of works that Rockwell did that I'm going to get to here because it's part of my point about freedom of speech. Rockwell did a series one time of four paintings that he said took an emotional toll on him. He said that those works, those four paintings, were serious paintings that sucked the energy right out of me, he said, like dredges, leaving me dazed and thoroughly weary. Now, unlike many of his other works, this series of four paintings, they took months near the onset of World War II. They were inspired by a wartime speech done by President Franklin Roosevelt, and they captured the minds and the hearts of Americans everywhere. And once they revealed millions of requests, once they were revealed, millions of requests came in for them. Reprints flooded in. The U.S. government made them into inspirational posters. I mean, they were hanging everywhere, had the phrase on them that said, "This is why we fight." The postage stamps were issued using this artwork. By the end of the war, Norman Rockwell's four-part series of posters that just merely depicted the blessings of a life in the United States had been reprinted over 4 million times. That series of paintings that I'm referring to, look them up, is called The Four Freedoms. Look up Norman Rockwell, The Four Freedoms. Each one of them depicts a scene from Americana, and they are respectively titled Freedom of Speech, Freedom of Worship, Freedom from Want, and Freedom from Fear. And they just show things like moms and dads and kids and people at church and tucking their children into bed and assembling at the town hall and sitting down to family meals. But it's what you read in the nuances of the pictures that makes them speak. I mean, the emotions, the worry lines in the faces, the weathered hands, the headline on dad's paper as he's reading it about the fighting over there. But the one that always stood out to me that goes straight to what I'm talking about today is the one of those paintings called Freedom of Speech. It's a real simple imagery, and they use it now all the time on social media as a meme about somebody willing to say something hard. It's really very profound if you look at it. The image is a town hall meeting. Folks are sitting in old school wooden pews, shoulder to shoulder. In the center of it all, one man has now stood up to speak, and faces around the room are turning to see and hear him. And just to the lower left of the man who stood, you can see the look of pride on an old man's face as he watches the young man stand up. And Rockwell was apparently inspired for this when he actually witnessed a similar scene in real life in which one man stood at a public meeting to be the only one to dare to speak out on an issue. The speaker that Rockwell described, though, is just the everyman. He's just wearing old work clothes, an old jacket, a flannel shirt, but the look on his face, it says that he knows it's necessary for him to speak for such a time as this, and he's okay with some of the dubious looks being thrown at him by the others. Here's the thing, folks. That image of people taking a stand is playing out now worldwide. There's a reason why Rockwell's Four Freedoms struck a chord such over 70 years ago, because our nation was at war with a force that did not believe in those four freedoms, especially the opportunity for freedom of speech. But that same anti-freedom sentiment has been rising again in the modern age. There's a true movement afoot right now to stifle speech. That's why J.D. Vance gave his speech he did in Europe. If we cannot speak freely, if we are not allowed to stand in the middle of our moments and say those things that we believe, then we really aren't free at all. And throughout time, and even in recent memory, the great tyrants of the world have started all their oppression by silencing dissent and letting their subjects know what was or was not considered to be acceptable speech. And that's not us. That is not America. And it should not be America's allies either. There's a reason why the First Amendment was the very First Amendment. The freedom of speech is not to be taken lightly. So, do we question? Yes, and we should. And do we speak out? Yes, and we should. And is it possible to actually have a disagreement and it remain a civil discourse? Yes, and we should. But progressives here and abroad have decided that such dissent, such questioning, such speech is unreasonable and must therefore be quelled. Norman Rockwell, he hit a nerve for a reason, because the world, the whole world at that time when he painted that painting, was on the edge, considering what could happen if fascism, real fascism, could win the war. The right to speak would be gone. So yeah, I'm glad that Vance gave the speech he did to the European elites. And I'm glad that Rubio said what he did on CBS. I'm glad they took hold of that chance and spoke into it. And I'll be honest, it was needed. Not only for the leadership elites, but for the people who hear somebody say it in a refreshing way that they are allowed to have an opinion. So don't sit still. You stand and you speak. And by God, we'll be here tomorrow, because freedom of speech, it's a precious thing. It's a thing worth fighting for. It's a thing that many have died for. And the folks in Europe need to understand, we care about it. If they're our allies, we care about it. And that's just the way it is. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way.